Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Open your hearts.
Loosen your butts.
It's time for couples therapy.
Yeah, this podcast is Andy and Naomi's, where they can both laugh and hang with all their homies, talking excellent vacationing with brunches and cuddling, to messy situationships and conscious and coupling, from Netflix hookups to single them with some Hulu, text, sex, regrets, or feeling on your new jubu. They gon' talk about it, yeah, you are invited, needing therapy, I guarantee, baby, we got it.
It's couples therapy, couples therapy.
Everyone, and welcome to Couples Therapy. My name is Andy.
And I'm Naomi.
We are a real-life couple.
Real-life couple of comedians.
And on Couples Therapy, we answer a couple different questions from a couple different listeners. Hello, welcome to the show for this week in your life, dear listeners. Gentle listeners. Sweet listeners.
Sweet, gentle, tender listeners.
Comfortable listeners. Listening to, sitting in your most favorite easy chair. With your earbuds in, just listening away. Welcome. Welcome to the show. Naomi, my dear,
yes.
How are you doing?
I'm doing all right, Andrew. Good to see you.
Yeah. I don't want to spoil anything for the listeners, but I will say this. I can tell when you are being formal, that means you are masking some other feeling, a sadder feeling perhaps.
Fatigue. Also, don't put me on blast on a podcast, okay? If I wanted to share that other feeling, I would have shared it. Shared it. Lamadia-esque. No, I'm just tired.
Yeah, just tired. Yeah, that's fine. It's a tiring world we live in.
It's
an exhausted world. It's a decadent world. A decadent world full of fainting couches and sleeping pills.
Andy's idea of a sleeping pill, just for the record, you guys, is one single Benadryl.
Yeah.
So don't worry. He's not out here with his dolls.
No. No. That scares me. anything that could do anything to my system more than just give me like a gentle, look, an Advil PM. It just gently tucks you in. Anything, any drug that does more than that, I'm like, nope.
It's a little butterfly kiss on your forehead.
Yeah. It's a fun-sized butterfinger in your trick-or-treat bag. So, hey, before we get into the festivities, Naomi.
Yes.
I wanted to bring up something. You know, we love follow-ups on the show.
I love follow-ups.
All right. You know, when we do these advice questions, we try our best to give decent advice. And we love to hear if people have taken that advice, if the problem was resolved before we even were able to get to it. You know,
or if they think we're crazy.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I want that feedback. I want that follow-up. I need to know, because it's like we talk and we say go with God, but then I don't know where you went.
So from Lauren and Cameron's episode, this is a couple episodes ago, okay? Someone called in and asked. So they had a very jealous friend.
Yes.
Okay. I just want to give the
break it out.
Jealous friend, like they said, I remember in it, the caller had said something like, if the caller posted something on Facebook and tagged someone else,
the
friend would get angry.
Yes.
And that she had
jealous of other friendships.
Right. And she had been in med school. She was a part-time paramedic. Yeah. During the pandemic, she has a husband and child.
And the friend was like, you're not making time for me.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Rude. Right. Terrible.
And obviously, we said something like, you know, get rid of the friend.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
So let me play this follow-up from the caller.
Hi, Naomi and Andy. I am calling for a follow-up. I was the voicemail that was featured on your July 6th episode with my favorite other IRC. Lauren and Cameron. Anyway, I wanted a follow-up. I did drop that bitch. And I don't know, Naomi, I just, every time I hear you, I just love you so much because you're absolutely right. She was a white woman. And I didn't even say that. And the only reason why I left it anonymous is because I know she turned me on a couple therapies. So I actually didn't want, I don't think she still listens to you guys, but she used to listen. She's the one who also told me, yeah, I listened to that when I was talking to her about that. Anyway, just wanted to thank you for your sound advice. And funny thing is, when I dropped her right before, I thought that it was going to be the hardest thing ever, and it's like a weight was lifted off of my shoulders. And you could probably tell by my voice, I'm much happier. Other than that, I did leave a second voicemail that did not cut off. So please ignore that, Andy. Thank you guys for all that you do. You guys really helped me, through this pandemic, just listening to you guys, every Tuesday. You have no idea how hard it was, when this first started. You know, every week it was like 2 to 3 deaths, and, you know, me working as a part-time paramedic as well as being in medical school, it's like you saw it every day, almost every day, but, just listen to a podcast and just with real people, genuine people, like yours was a relief. It was a relief. It kept me grounded. So just wanted to thank you guys and hope you have a great day. Won't get cut off this time. Bye.
Wow. I want nothing but the best for her.
Oh, my God.
And I'm so glad to hear it.
Oh, my God.
I'm sending you love and light, honey, because you are in the trenches. You're on the front lines of all this, and I'm glad we could give you a little lull, but...
I was going to ask, why does that friend or ex-friend not listen to us anymore?
Well, I said, if you had just told me that, I would have said drop her. Do you know what I mean? If you were like, I don't think she'd listen to y'all anymore, I said, get rid of her.
I wonder why, but then I'm like, oh, right, because we're not jerks. And she's like, I need to... Probably the ex-friend is like, I need to listen to jerks like me. Only empathetic folks. That's what I'm saying.
That's what we're saying. I'm so proud of you.
I'm kidding. Anyone can listen.
Anyone
psychopaths.
Can listen, rate, review, and subscribe. Rate 5 stars only.
Anyone can join the Patreon. Anyone can. I'm kidding. We've totally sold out. No, but I do like that, like, there is this community of, like, very empathetic people built around the show, mm-hmm. and it does give me a little bit of hope for the future. Speaking of the future, specifically our listeners' future.
Wow.
What an episode we have in store for them. Now, I said this in the thing. Normally, we don't have two cishet white dudes on.
Yeah.
Two bit boys on.
Yeah, bit boys.
But I think we had quite a wonderful time. Now, Naomi, who are these guests?
Well, we've got Jordan and Jesse, co-hosts of the podcast Jordan Jesse Go on Maximum Fun,
which we were on an episode a long time ago.
How wonderful. Jordan is also the co-author of the sci-fi comedy graphic novel Bubble, based on the Max Fun podcast of the same name. It's got monsters, it's got robots, it's got gore, and lots of sex jokes, which, even though I'm sex negative, I'll allow it. And you can get it wherever you get your books, like, you know, your local indie, a comic book store. It's everywhere.
I like bookshop.org. It's a good place to get stuff.
Bookshop.org.
Yeah. Also, Jesse is the founder of Max Fun.
Absolutely.
He is the host of Bullseye.
Absolutely.
And the bailiff, or I forget exactly what, on Judge John Hodgman. Judge John Hodgman.
Judge George Hodge.
Jury. yeah, what a good time. So, without any further ado,
roll it.
I will say this. This is a momentous occasion.
That's true.
To have not one, but two cishet whiteys on.
Yeah.
Besides myself. I usually am that quotient. I fulfill that.
Yes. We normally offset Andy's caucasity. But tonight, but today, you know, to have you two here, this is huge. A place of honor you guys are holding. And I thought, you know, a 20-year friendship. Now that's worth it. We got to dig into that.
Because here's the thing. I will say this. I'll put this out there. I see how you respond to this. You guys are bit boys.
Yeah, bit boys.
but there, I know there's more under the surface. When we've had bit boys on before. I am a bit boy myself. Yeah. Although, like, I've gone through therapy, so, like, it's been...
Well, also, though, let's just say for the record, too, before we started recording, literally Andy said a sentence that I didn't know what it... He just said, do I hear California Surfer? And immediately Jordan was like, Principal Skinner's talent show? Like,
Principal Skinner's stand-up, what he did
when he went to when he went to do open mics, yeah, comedy. Yeah, and I, you know, and thank you for having us on, and, you know, and again, thank you for welcoming the cis-het white community into podcasting.
Yeah, yes. We are so excited to be here to talk about the New Yorker interview with John Swartzwelder.
but I just want to, like, push back a little bit against your assumption that there is something underneath the bits.
yeah.
Nope, it's basically just Simpsons quotes and opinions about Star Wars. That is all we're bringing to the table. Mm-hmm. It's our culture. It's our culture.
I mean, look, again, I don't want to correct Jordan. We've been friends for 20 years. I'm also willing to offer some sports takes. If anybody needs any sports takes, what teams suck, what teams don't suck, I'm glad to help with that too.
That's so huge. Wait, can we
Clippers.
Talk?
That's
are you naming it just a team?
Sure.
Any team? Clippers.
He's actually, he was trying to name types of boats, but if you want to go teams with that, that's fine.
Tall ship.
Yeah. Okay, so wait, 20 years ago, though, where did you meet?
I was Jordan's RA.
Yeah,
at UC
Santa Cruz. So yes, Jesse told me that I needed to join his improv group or he'd write me up for a noise complaint.
So we were at UC Santa Cruz. It was a performing arts hall, which I was chosen to be the RA of because I had gone to arts high school, I think. And because I had befuddled the supervisors into thinking I was a responsible adult. But yeah, Jordan was on my hall, and you know, as you would expect, it was a bunch of very sweet Dorcases on the hall. A couple of people who are, you know, lifelong friends of ours. But also, you know, what I remember thinking is, thinking, where does this jerk get off thinking that he's funnier than me? And then, like, 3 weeks later being like, fuck, this guy's funnier than me.
I mean, yes. I definitely, like, you know, as us cishet whites tend to do, you know, we definitely, like, bonded over, like, pop culture stuff. Like, I remember Jesse having a Kids in the Hall poster, you know, and a Tenacious D poster. And, like, those were, like, the things I'm like, oh, I was the only guy at my high school who liked those things. And here's another guy. Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
We had a nice kid on our hall who had the States book. Which was already out of print.
Maybe by the state?
Yeah, it was maybe like 7 years old, but was out of print. And I would say just a whole kind of emotional attention market surrounded Michael and his copy of State by State by the State.
Yeah, that's up there with Daddy's Boy. If you were in college, you found, which is the Chris Elliott and his dad wrote a book called Daddy's Boy.
Okay.
There's a couple of these. This is interesting. Maybe there's one person in every high school.
Or is it?
Who, in my high school, there was me and my friend Josh who were into, like, I liked The Tick cartoon.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Kids in the Hall. And I guess... Was even Stranger with Candy out yet?
I was going to say that was my thing because I'm a little bit younger than you, just a touch. And Stranger with Candy was mine. Like, if I saw someone who knew Stranger with Candy, I was like, okay, you're one of my people, right? Yep. Like, that was how you knew, okay, we can vibe.
Right.
So
there's one Seth Cohen in every high school. And then,
Naomi, if I was to say to you, that's what I want to be when I grow up, a robot. Would that register to you as one of the all-time great Strangers with Candy quotes?
Interesting. I wouldn't have said that. What I like to say a lot is pizza, pizza, pizza.
Yeah!
Which is just simple, you know.
Yeah.
Or calling any doctor Dr. Zorders, which I really, for some reason, enjoyed that name. Dr. Zorders.
Right.
And, like, and a joke where you need to, like, dial a phone, but you just smush your hand into it. Anyway. Mm-hmm.
It's really beautiful, yes. That program.
Yeah.
It sure is.
It's interesting. So then there's like a certain person in every high school or so, or a couple people in every high school who's emotional currency is quoting this kind of like obscure pop culture stuff.
Sure.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then you get to college and you find a handful more. And that's so what I was saying, I know I was like being a little facetious, but like, I guess there is some kind of like alchemy.
Ooh,
emotional alchemy.
Ooh, between, emotional like, alchemy.
Between like pop culture references. Did I hear California Surfer?
Sure.
Like that, like someone else knowing that and be and like their heart being like fluttering a little bit. Like,
yeah,
oh,
yeah. You're feeling someone seen. Gets me. Yeah, you're feeling seen for of someone course. To really like hear you or see you in an instant. I think especially when we were younger, right? Like that was it when you were like 20. You're like, you get me? It's like,
right.
No, you don't. You know, we just have the same thing we like, but it means so much.
Maybe we shouldn't forge an emotional relationship based on having all the Mr. Show episodes on VHS, but here we are.
Here we are.
We should mention that our college co-host had all the Mr. Show episodes on VHS, and that was a big deal.
It was a big
time.
Deal.
He also had every Larry Sanders, so.
Yeah.
But
I think in me and Jesse's case, I think it started with that, you know, very, very standard, you know, we're two alternative comedy guys who like the same alternative comedy stuff. But yeah, I think it, you know, what happened is that we kind of were two guys whose kind of work styles complemented each other. I think we're both like guys who like to talk about something and then actually do it.
Wow, huge. That's huge.
I think maybe you know these types of creative people who maybe sit around and smoke weed and talk about vague ideas for screenplays and then get mad that they don't get made even though they haven't written them. Jesse, I think I was always so impressed that like when Jesse and I would have an idea, we would try and do it, which I thought was really cool. And and I think that's kind of like a reason we still work together.
Yeah, I think that we also, even when we were 20 and 19 or 19 and 18 when we met, I think that when we were making stuff, like we had the idea that we were making it for other people to enjoy. And that's not to say that we weren't like doing jokes that cracked each other up or being mm-hmm. weird and dumb and being 19-year-olds. But I think that in addition to like showing up to actually make stuff, we both also had the idea that like the point of this is to do something to connect with people. Okay. So if it's pure self-indulgence, you know, there's what are we messing around for?
They learned that early, Andy.
Yeah. So Jordan and I were also like the people on our improv team that flyered. You know what I mean?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like we weren't making any money, but like we did the stuff when
we went
had
down
a college
to the
radio
we went
show.
Down to the Kinko's. We made the copies. Yeah.
Yeah, and we always our college radio show. Started at a 7:30 a.m. time slot, and UC Santa Cruz's mm-hmm. campus is really big, and the buses didn't start running until 8. So we had to walk basically in like movie fog. You know, the UC Santa Cruz campus,
right.
It truly is like at 7 o'clock in the morning, the UC Santa Cruz campus is like a place where you would go to meet Sasquatch. And we would walk, you know, half an hour walk to get to the radio station up a mountain to do our show. And the reason that we did it was we were both that kind of guy. And I think that was a big deal at that age.
Yeah.
I had not trained myself to like coffee yet. So
yeah,
that was.
Wait, how did you do it? Because I'll tell you, this morning I put vanilla ice cream in some cold brew because I could not handle the taste. I hate the taste of coffee, but I know I needed that energy. And so I just took a little spoonful of vanilla and it really helped offset the bitterness.
God damn, genius. Yeah.
I mean, I don't see the problem in what you're describing. This sounds
rad.
Idea.
I think you just invented a food truck that'll allow you to quit entertainment if you'd like.
No. We just went to the doctors for the first time in forever because of the pandemic, and we are falling apart as people.
Wait,
we...
do you guys go to the doctor in tandem, Jordan? We should be doing that.
Yeah,
well,
you could.
We have one car, so yes. So it was like we'll each do appointments. We have different doctors, but at the same place. place. So I was like, let's both do 10 o'clock so we can ride together.
I imagine the two of you, you know those kind of doctor's office scales with the little things that slide across the top? Mm-hmm. I imagine two of those next to each other, each of you standing on one and you're holding hands.
Yeah. Just holding hands and looking at the ground because we will not learn our weight.
No. I closed my eyes. My doctor was like, do you want to know? I'm like, no, please don't tell me. I know things are not right. I know things have happened in this last year.
Right.
You know, my midnight potato chip expeditions did not make me healthier. So,
they took blood samples for me the last time I went to the doctor, and they said that it was just egg salad. Does that seem...
Your blood type is gooey.
Real.
And it's a shame. It's a real shame, and I just want to take a moment of silence to recognize all the men that we lost on that potato chip expedition. Those who did not come back to get the wavy lays. A quick detour back to coffee and learning to like it.
Yes.
Before I learned to like coffee, I got myself an energy drink addiction. I used to work for a TV network that's not around anymore called Fuel TV. Fuel TV, very extreme skateboarding, snowboarding, and just guy stuff, you know, guy stuff, gear, bibs, cars, guy stuff. And because that network was that network, there were cases and cases and mini fridges and mini fridges filled with energy drinks, all the flavors of the flavor rainbow. And I got addicted to those bad to the point where I would like salivate when I saw the logo.
Wow.
And I realized that it was killing me. But I got addicted to the pep. So I kind of like decided like, all right, asshole, it's time to like coffee. You know, you're fucking 25. It's time to like coffee and stop drinking these 300 calorie sodas. So then I kind of like made a concerted effort to like coffee. And now I can't get enough.
I was imagining that, like, did you guys ever watch Alias with what's her name? Sydney Bristow. What's her real name?
Garner. No, Jennifer Garner.
When she would go into like the spy part, she would have to go in this white room and it would turn red and it would make sure that she is, she's like, doesn't have any
bugs
on her and stuff, whatever. Sure, but I imagined you went into one of those, but it sprayed you with Axe body spray.
Yes, a kind of a Silkwood shower of of something that smelled like sandalwood. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah,
Put on his extreme mask on his way into the building.
Yeah, extreme gears and babes. Gear is so funny because it's such a. It means nothing, and yet it also means everything. Right. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I'm into gear. It's kind of like, what kind of gear? What does it mean? But at the same time, anyone who says gear, you know who they are to some degree.
I feel like what it really means is buying things. Right? Am I mistaken in thinking that?
Well, like unboxing videos, like that's what I think, right? Those people, like, they want to watch. Yeah, they want to watch you take it apart or put it together.
Sure,
is what that's part fair. Of.
I don't this facet of maleness does not. I don't understand anything about it. And you even saying it, I was just like, I could not think of anything besides like, oh right, there was a John Glazer show about gear, like a comedy, like a joke show. That's literally where. Again, this is the thing. But this is why I'm like curious about, like, at what point, like, my friendships that were based on bits, like my friend Josh, we've been friends for like, I don't know, 25 years or more at this point. It had to deepen at some point, right? There were like, we started to go through tragedies, right? Parents and stuff, and like just like general things. And there was a point where it's just like, oh, I guess we're talking about emotional things now as opposed to, and it was weird at first.
Jordan and I are each emotionally distant in our own special way, I would say. We're both from very troubled families and we're both children of divorce. And I think that both he and I have, by default, a lot of walls up. Mm-hmm. And we're both comfortable with, each of us is comfortable with intimacy in a different way. Does that feel fair to you to say, Jordan?
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think that, you know, maybe the way I became a bit boy, my journey to, and by the way, fucking great term. I want to applaud. I want to applaud you two for that because
all Andy, honey.
It says it. It's like gear. It just says it all. Yep. I think the way I became a bit boy is that, you know, my parents, very turbulent relationship. My dad kind of bailed and went off the grid when I was a kid. So like he just kind of disappeared from everyone's life. And, you know, so just, and when he was there, it was not fun. It was, you know, perhaps for the best. And I think I kind of took on the role as like, cheer up guy, like, hey, don't look at Jordan, he's doing a thing, he's living in a van down by the river, he saw it on Saturday Night Live, you know, right, so right. And I think I kind of took on that role, and you know, and I think it put me in a position to where, you know, it's hard for me to kind of process sad stuff, because you know, I've trained myself to like just start goofing around when it happens. So, you know, that's something that I like have talked a shit ton about in therapy. It's like how to just like be sad about something and acknowledge that it sucks. And, you know, you don't always, and if other people are sad, you don't have to cheer them up. You can just, you know, be sad with them. And I think that is, you know, that is how I became a bit boy. And I think it is something that, I have to like be mindful of in my relationships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I'm also, my therapist told me that I have neat guy syndrome, which is that whenever I'm telling her about someone who's like, hurt me in some way or messed up my life, even if it's not a personal way, I mean, I'm literally doing it right now, but I tell her what a neat guy they are. Like, I'm like, well, they're really like, they, and I like list all their positive qualities. And then she's like, you can just tell me the shitty thing they did to you. Right. Like, it is okay. And I think I'm probably a little more melancholic than Jordan, but I have a really hard time being mad about stuff and negotiating any kind of conflict. Like both Jordan and I are conflict avoidant, but I think I'm my way of dealing with conflict is to try and put everyone on the same page by being really clear about everything that's going on, and thus theoretically head conflict off at the pass when in fact, in, you know, feelings do not follow rules. And I think that's about me. You know, my parents were, in custody proceedings until I was 16, from when I was 3 to when I was 16, continuously or intermittently in court against each other. And they did not have the money to do this either. Mm-hmm. Like this was a real unfunded luxury for them.
Anger
to constantly
was really
be
going.
Yeah. So and like my dad died recently and my mom still hates him. Like he tried to reconcile with her and she was like, nope. But so I always like, I think I tried to avoid conflict by making sure that I never did anything wrong or like never didn't know what the rules were or never that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And so like one result of that was like, I think I often, so like Jordan is more of an ingratiator, like someone who is trying to make people feel comfortable. And I am like similarly conflict avoidant, but kind of in the opposite way, which is that I am like, I'm constantly like, trying to set the rules or make clear what page everyone is on, even if it is upsetting to people. And I think neither of us is any good at being mad at each other or anyone else. I think for both of us, that just like feels like wanting to throw, like for me anyway, being mad just feels like wanting to throw up. Like I just feel bad. I don't get any like relief from being mad, and I should, but I don't. Yeah.
Well, I'm finding all of this very interesting. I love that we've managed to dig deep. Because, Jesse, I wonder, and Jordan, maybe you can also speak to it as a person outside, how has being a parent changed you? Because you have a child, and I noticed that, you know, when you speak about your child, you're very thoughtful and you're open, right? And I remember, again, like the first time you and I met was when I came to do the podcast, and I remember leaving and being like, Andy, I was out of my element. I was out of my dad.
No, right, you wonderful. Felt like you were back in like improv 401 at UCB.
Yeah, I was like,
you and 15 white guys.
But I just like, also, my brain doesn't think on that level, like the extent to which like, I don't like, because what I always feel about, not just bit boy, not the idea of bit boys in terms of necessarily, you know, jokes, but also like, I just don't remember shit from that long ago. Like, I can't quote something from 20
it's
years
a
ago.
A particular brain, it's references and also like, oh, this thing sounds like this other thing. And your brain just goes from like, it's just like constant like consonants and assonants in your brain. And you're like, oh, that sounds like that. So here's how these two things, here's the joke between them.
I think I'm more likely to be referential than Jordan. That is a way for me to make up for the fact that Jordan is more talented than I, at least at comedy. We both have talent. Don't get me wrong.
Of course.
But I think that Jordan Jesse Go, our show together, in some ways is like a pursuit of absolute meaninglessness. I think what Jordan says about the kind of classic bit boy thing of only talking about Star Wars, like we will talk about Star Wars, but only in the most insane and abstract terms. Like it's not like we're getting into an argument over whether The Last Jedi was good. I think we both agree, obviously it was good. It was the best Star Wars movie since the original Star Wars movies. But like it's more about it will more just be like us making up the names of Star Wars planets or something. Like it is truly immediately goes into nonsense. And I think that to some extent, for both Jordan and I, that is like our happy place. Like I look forward more than anything else. And like, you know, this year, you know, everyone has had a horrible year. I have had a particularly horrible year, I think. But like nothing I have looked forward to more than just the pure nonsense of Jordan Jesse Go. And that's even relative to like, I do another show, Judge John Hodgman, with John Hodgman, who's also a really close friend of mine who I really love. And that show is about like comfort and wisdom. And honestly, I long more for nonsense than I long for comfort and wisdom in times of pain.
I hear that.
Yeah, no, I totally understand that. I'm having flashbacks to like when I think one of the last times I was at home and my friend Josh came over. And we sat there for hours, hours, to the point where Naomi just left and went to bed, asking Alexa to play different things.
They wouldn't let her finish it, though. That's what was making me crazy. Like, you would get up to the first chorus, and they'd be like, Alexa, play this. And I'm like, I want to finish the song Alexa started. And I never felt more like a sitcom wife than in that moment.
She had lotion like, on her arms as she was like, I'm going to bed.
I'm going to bed.
And the worst part was you had burned the casserole.
And Andy's boss is coming over, and he doesn't know whether he's going to give him the big promotion or not.
Exactly. Yeah,
no. Like, Naomi, I didn't have an Alexa, so I was like, my parents did. I'm like, oh, let's see what this does for hours.
It plays nonsense. 30 seconds of a song.
Exactly.
Naomi, I want to say that you were great on Jordan Jesse Go, and people often tell us how great you were. I remember we have like a Facebook page where we'll post like, you know, stuff our past guests are up to. And I remember like posting one of your stand-up clips, and it just blowing up with people saying how funny you are. And also should be noted, and I imagine you're in a great place with this, but just I think it should be said that, like, you know, maybe you do feel a little bit uncomfortable with the kind of like bit boy word association, but god damn, you have such an impressive comedy career. You've written on some of the funniest shows with like the funniest people. So I mean, like, I think there is this weird, you know, this weird like stereotype that the like bit boy reference vibe creates a better writer or a better comedian, when it like doesn't. Like, you don't need that. Yeah. And it, like, a lot of the like funniest people are more quieter and thoughtful than that. So
yeah,
anyway.
That's very nice, Naomi.
That's, I want to be clear, that's not to say that it's not impressive that I did one day on the Comedy Bang Bang TV show. obviously, I have also been very successful in comedy.
Right. Absolutely.
But
absolutely.
You too have a remarkable resume.
I'm just slower. Like, my brain, like, it's not like I don't, it just like takes me like, because even like in working, I'm always like, oh, I know what it is. I'm nervous that if I talk too much, they will discover I don't know what I'm doing. So I'm really careful about when I put it out there. I like go in my head and I'm like, okay, is this funny? Is this going to sound good out loud? How do I like sell it? You know what I'm doing it? When you do all that, you're only getting like 3 pitches in a day with all that brain.
I mean, probably 3 great pitches, you know, like anyway.
The other longest standing relationship in my life is with my wife, Teresa, and she and I have been together since we were 17.
Oh, wow.
And Teresa, like, one of the amazing things to me about Teresa is like the only point, we have very few points of conflict, but like one of the only ones is that she does things really slowly. And I was always just like, is that just because she's kind of from the exurbs and I'm from the city, or like, what is that? And then she went to law school. And as I watched her go through law school and thought about how the extent to which I could not do that, like watched her sit and study law books and like that she didn't, it's not that she wanted to learn them. She just wanted to finish law school. And I was like, I couldn't do that in 1,000 years. Mm-hmm. And actually earlier today, the therapist said to me that she has extraordinary, what they call executive function skills. Mm-hmm. Like, her mind is able to manage itself. Like, that's one of her greatest skills. She has extraordinary emotional skills too, but she has incredible executive function skills, and she finds comforting being deliberate, making the right choice, considering all the options and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
Whereas as soon as I am faced with a situation that I can't immediately solve in my head, and like, I think I'm relatively good at that. But like, as soon as I get beyond that, you know, is basically as soon as I got past algebra, I mean, calculus A, as soon as I got into calculus B and I couldn't do the problem in my head anymore, I was like, fuck this, I'm out of here. Fuck you. Mm-hmm. You know, I was like, no fucking way. And I feel the same way about feelings. Like, if I have a conflict with somebody that I can't figure out what the answer is to it, or if I don't feel like entirely righteous, like if I have mixed feelings about it, like if I feel entirely righteous, I can be pretty good at being mad at somebody. But if I have even 15% mixed feelings about it, it just makes me want to cry, like cry and throw up. Mm-hmm. And it's the same way about anything. Like, I went to a stress management class, and I found it so stressful to sit there that I quit after the first day.
Oh, that's too good. You needed it most of all.
Yeah.
And you were like, no, get me out of here.
Honestly, the irony of that just occurred to me. Like, as I said that out loud, I swear to God, that's how unexamined of a life I'm leading. Boy, howdy.
So when did your friendship deepen past, like, word association? Was it fatherhood? Was it therapy? Was it Teresa?
Yeah, because you both said the T word, which you know we love here on the pod.
Yeah, I mean, I've been thinking a little bit about it as we've been talking. And yeah, and I think I have been in therapy for maybe 8 years. And it's, you know, it's helped. I mean, I imagine you have a very nice, sensitive audience who's open to these kinds of things. But in case there's somebody out there who still thinks it's weird, it's not. It's great. Do it. But, you know, I mean, I think the reason that our friendship has deepened is that I think tonnage has something to do with it. Right. Like, we've been doing this goofy yak show for, you know, 20 years, if you count college radio. Mm-hmm. And you can only make up Star Wars planets for so long. Like, you will just statistically accidentally talk about your feelings a little bit. And, you know, especially like you know, this year where we're all kind of crammed in our houses and looking for something to talk about, like, I don't know, you're kind of just sitting living with your feelings. So yeah, I think that, you know, if you, you know, with your, if you have a bit boyfriend, and I think, I'm sure you guys have acknowledged this, but I think there are bit boy can apply across the genders.
Yes, yes, sure, yes, sure. Absolutely.
It's non-gender specific.
Yes, boy. There are bit people, bit girls.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's no doubt that boy is spelled B-O-I.
B-O-I,
oh,
yes.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think, you know, if you spend enough time with the bit boys in your life, like, the feelings will creep in. And just, I think the fact that we've been doing bits for so long, you know, just by necessity, some feelings have crept in. And I think our audience has been really nice about it. They seem to like it. They don't call us names when we talk about feelings. Yeah, they're kind of like, they're kind of into it. So I think, you know, like, obviously I don't think our show's going to go full Marin anytime soon, but like,
but they knew, our, the people who are listening to Jordan Jesse Go know that they've signed up for a show hosted by and, you know, run by two beta cucks.
Sure.
Like, they're aware of, I would say, we probably spent the most time together when we were in college. And many, like, you know, that might have been the most, like, friend stuff we did together in terms of volume. Because, I mean, among other things, like, I was essentially married immediately upon leaving college. And, you know, my then girlfriend, now wife, was my girlfriend at the time and when we were in college, but she wasn't around. She went to school on the East Coast. So, you know, it just sort of changed my lifestyle right away. Mm-hmm. But I think that over time, like, I mean, I've said this, you know, once in a while we will do for members of Max Fun, people who donate, we'll do like a behind the scenes episode. And I've said it before, but I really mean it, which is like the two things. Like, obviously, I got into business with Jordan because he's so talented. I was like, I can't believe there's a guy on my hall that's this fucking funny. You know, like, I was like, this guy is just lives four doors down from me. And this is like, this person is like, when we were 19, he was professional level funny.
Yeah.
One of the things that I would say, the two things that I have admired most about Jordan in working with him are, number one, the thing that we talked about, that, you know, we have another friend who was just as talented as Jordan and works in show business in a non-comedy field and is successful at it. But, you know, when we were that age, he had a really hard time with the showing up part. And Jordan never a time that I was worried that Jordan wouldn't fulfill his obligations. And I felt the same, like, part of my conflict avoidance, frankly, was that I was pretty compulsive about, like, doing the things that I said I would do.
Mm-hmm. So people would be happy with you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have broken the rules that keep us cool, you know, like, I didn't understand until 6 weeks ago that you're supposed to, like, maintain your friendships. I believed in my heart that they were either at stasis or there was or someone had broken the rules and they were broken. Those are the only two. Calling people to check in is something that, yes, I have to force myself to do.
But I'm with,
like,
you on that. Yeah.
Yeah. But the other thing about Jordan that has always been true, that is always incredibly impressive to me, is that there has never been a moment when I have seen Jordan not working hard to further himself. And when I say that, I mean both professionally, in that Jordan, like, when I graduated from college, I went back to San Francisco and kept doing my college radio show. Like, people think that because I'm like a business owner and stuff, I had like a grand vision for what I just was scared to change. I was just like, I'll just keep doing this forever until someone takes it away from me and work as a secretary. Jordan moved to Los Angeles, which, you know, despite its physical proximity from Orange County where he grew up, like, it's not like Jordan grew up knowing people in show business and like went to work in show business like right away. So, and at every point in his career, like, there's been very little in Jordan's career that has been handed to him. Like, I have very rarely seen him get a gig because of patronage or because he knew somebody or whatever. I mean, that is the nature of show business to some extent. But, like, I think relatively Jordan has had to scrap for every bit of his show business career and has never shied away from doing that, even when it was sad.
But I will take this moment to give a brief shout out to Grandpapa Bezos.
Yes. Well, Grandpapa has provided a little grease for the wheels of industry.
Sure, yeah. Yeah. Right.
Grandpapa Bezos, Uncle Spielberg.
Yes. Uncle Spielberg, yes.
I mean, yes. I think that Sharon Morris, Jordan's mom, probably provided a little bit of help when Jordan was trying to get a job and he needed some lactation counseling. Mm-hmm. but that's one piece of it. That's one piece of it. I would say the other piece of it is that same thing is true of him as a person. Like, Jordan has always been an immensely caring person and someone who was always trying to take care of the people around him for the trauma related reasons we just discussed.
Right.
But he also, like, the things that I used to secretly inside myself tear my hair out about, that were just nothing, no big deal things, but just things that partners would get annoyed with each other about, those kinds of things. Like, anytime I was like that, I would be like, but to be fair, you're being a dick because Jordan has grown a lot in that area and is continuing to work hard to grow in that area. And, like, at this point, those things that used to be annoying to me or whatever, like that level of, you know, those kind of like partner annoyances that, you know, break up bands or whatever.
Yeah.
Or equivalent, like, Jordan has worked through them. Like, I've seen him work on them really hard to take care of himself and the people around him. And, like, I don't think I know anyone in my life who has worked harder to be a good and full person than Jordan. And I think that, like, having myself, like, I grew up with pretty fucked up parents who were also really amazing. And one of them, my dad, had been an addict and had been before I was born, had been homeless and had, you know, had just a really fucked up life. And in large part because of mistakes that he had made. And then he made more mistakes with my mom, right? And I grew up going to AA meetings with him when I was little because my parents had split custody and he did not have money for a babysitter. So I would just go with him to meetings. And, you know, as much of a fucking mess as my dad was until the day he died, one of the things that I admired most about him and tried to learn from him, although, you know, it took a while, was to try and be better today than you were yesterday. Mm-hmm. Just in terms of being in the world and the other people around you. And that is a quality that I've seen in Jordan for 20 years. Like, you know, Jordan grew up in these really tough family circumstances. And I think also, like, you know, like, I had the gift of, I didn't grow up in show business, but, like, I grew up in San Francisco with parents who were bohemians or whatever. And, like, there was never any question that, like, I could go around and, like, be a weirdo. Like, that was presumed. Like, if anything, my parents were disappointed with how square I was, right? Like, they were like, of course, be weird. I think, you know, Jordan grew up in a, outside of its fucked upness, a relatively normal family where, you know, his mom is a nurse and his father disappeared and he lived in Orange County. And, you know, in Orange County, as Jordan has often said to me, like, his peers in high school drove lifted trucks to school. You know, like my peers in high school were like trying to submit to international arts competitions, you know. My peers in high school were like singing and dancing in the hallways, but like at a professional level. Yeah. Like I was one of the least talented or interesting people in my like peer group, you know. And so like Jordan had to fight for it, you know, and it's amazing to me. Like he just decided to do it and did it, you know.
I love this. That was an ode. That was an ode to Jordan from a best friend, and that was beautiful, and I loved it. And that actually changed how I thought about you, Jordan, because I did not know you were a scrapper.
No, yeah, I know. I do. Listen, I do reek of privilege.
Well, I always hear OC. You know what I mean? Like, someone from New York, when I hear Orange County, I think of
the TV show.
Yeah, like I think of fancy of course, only. Yes. Like, yeah, even though, yeah, of course, every city has layers and levels, but
of course,
that's just
yes,
what I think. Like, if you're like, I'm from Orange County and I work in TV.
Yeah.
That would be the line I would assume, you know?
But it sounded like you were more Chino than the OC.
I was a little more Chino, and that is about all I know about the TV show, the OC. So this is a bit boy bit that I cannot play along with.
Okay, well, then that's a perfect time for us to take a quick break and answer a couple of relationship questions. Are you guys ready for that emotionally?
Oh, love it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, y'all. Wanted to pop in real quick and let you know that if you like what you hear and you want to support the show, there are a couple different ways.
Most of our support comes from our wonderful Patreon community. For $5 a month, you get 2 bonus episodes of just us mostly spilling the tea and occasionally searching for crazy bread in Los Angeles, plus lots of other bonus content. We love our page pals, and we couldn't do this without you. And if you want to join, go to patreon.com/couplestherapypod.
We also have merch, which includes Gotta Miss a Bitch and Jubu t-shirts, which you can find in the link tree in our Twitter or Insta bios.
And for absolutely $0, you can rate and review the show on Apple.
5 stars, please. It'll only take 10 seconds, and it helps us tremendously. Okay, that's it. We love you deeply. Now back to the show. And we're back. We're sitting here with Jordan Morris and Jesse Thorne, and we are ready to handle your scandal.
One quick question.
But I was ready. Go ahead.
I just want to know what was going on? What really was going on? I mean, I said it as a joke, but like I did mean what was going on in the OC that you're dealing with as a kid.
What do you mean?
Like, is it like in my head, I was about to say something about the TV show. Be like, were you more like Jimmy or was it more like the Coens? Like, I realize that doesn't make sense, but like, you know, that you are like now that like built you to be like, well, I'm going to strive.
No, I mean, I think that I would love to take that and make it my identity. I think really what was going on is like, obviously Orange County now is a hotbed of How should we say? QAnon weirdos. Don't take away my personal liberties. The vaccination has chips in it. So that's the kind of like stereotype of Orange County now. But I think at the time there was weird shit, but it was a pretty like happy, nice place to grow up, and people were very supportive of me. I wore a dress to high school for a little while, and people were fine with it. They were cool with it. I like painted my nails and braided my hair, and like, yeah. So I would love to have the troubled childhood narrative because it makes you real cool. But I, you know, obviously my dad was kind of a shithead, but my mom was very nice, and everyone was nice and supportive, and they just let me be like a weirdo. And when I said I wanted to like go to UC Santa Cruz and then move to LA and do improv, everyone was very nice about it. So yeah, I think that like I got the nice chill part of Orange County and not the like oppressive conservative part. I just got the like chill surfer vibes and flip-flops and follow your dreams and live, laugh, love. Because the sign from Target says so.
That's true.
I just want to feel like I needed that piece of the puzzle.
Okay.
Yes,
please.
Now, listeners, send us questions over Gmail, Twitter, Instagram, voicemail. We're going to start off, Alex.
Wait, hold on. Gmail? The Google Mail?
Yes, Google Mail.
Can you send me an invite? I've been trying to get an invite.
Googlemail.uk. This first one, I like to start off with softball sometimes. This first one comes to us from Twitter. Hey, I have a question for y'all. Cowboy hat emoji.
Okay.
I have been dating my girlfriend for about a week.
Fast. I've heard things move faster in COVID. I've heard that you gotta get into the bubble. You gotta get into the quarantine. Sure.
It's been 3 days since I met my wife. And
this is recent, so this is not like a holdover. So this was in quarantine for sure.
Okay.
I have been dating my girlfriend for about a week. We've made out several times, and I don't feel anything. It's pleasant, but that's about it. We are both very physically affectionate and like to hold hands / cuddle whenever we can. I've read that if there are no sparks, in quotes, that the relationship isn't right. I'd like to say, fuck that. But I'm also scared. Mm-hmm. I got butterflies when we first held hands, but I think that's where they stopped. Mm-hmm. We were talking / crushing for 4 months before we started dating. Maybe I'm just in my head because this is my first, well, everything. Give it a couple of weeks. IG, what's that?
I guess.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm not
this
up
on my... This person's
young
and cool.
Internet slang. I've decided to collect more data before seeking advice. I've made it sound like I don't like her, but I really do. And it ends there. I guess what should this person do?
Yeah, they're wondering basically like, Does not feeling the sparks when making out mean that they're not supposed to be with this person?
Now, I want to put some context around this. And the context is that I have literally never dated anyone. unless you count like taking a couple girls to like the ice skating rink when I was 15.
What?
Did you grow up in the 1950s?
Basically.
Jesse grew up in a little town called Pleasantville. Everything's in black and white.
My first instinct about this, and Jordan, you can bring your dating experience to the question, is my first instinct is that this person should give themselves permission to have this kind, like in the context of them liking this romantic interest, that they should give themselves permission to have any kind of romance, sexual feelings about this person for a while. That they should also bear in mind that if it doesn't take, and the fact that they like this person and like spending time with this person is not enough after a while, they should also give themselves permission to say, I like this person, but not. But I do think that physical stuff can blossom over time. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think that they should discount that possibility, but I hope that they won't lock themselves into something for a really long time that doesn't have I'm going to say boners and wet pussies.
Fair. Fair.
BNWP.
Oh, lowered. You know I'm sex negative, boys. I don't like that kind of talk.
Oh, we didn't know. We didn't know. We maybe didn't read all the emails. So yes,
please say wieners and gynies instead.
Gynies.
Jordan, what do you think? Like you've been 20 years of dating experience.
I'll preface this by saying, don't listen to me. But this is the exercise, so I'll pontificate a little bit. You cannot predict who you'll be attracted to. It's mm-hmm. just like, you know, like I think, you know, you have your type, the kind of person you slow down to look at when you're on Instagram, you know, but that is not always the person you'll have the most chemistry with, you know, like mm-hmm. it's mysterious. You have to allow for it to be a little bit mysterious. And like, yeah, like I've dated for 20 years, and actually some very, very, I have very, very close friends who are like people I dated for a while and we weren't a match, but we still had a ton of connection. And, you know, it was weird at first, but now we're great friends and mm-hmm. a big part of each other's lives. Like that is totally something that happens. I know a lot of people, you'll get this weird narrative like, oh, you can never be friends with someone you dated. Mm-hmm. Like the person saying that has a glitch and should go to therapy. So if you get someone who's emphatically saying that to you, it's wrong. You can, those can be like really rewarding relationships. So like, you know, obviously this is a week, it's new. The world is so fucking weird right now. Like I can't imagine like starting a new relationship during all of this. So like, give it a little time. It's just been a month, but like allow for the fact that like maybe this is just like a good friend that you'll have to turn into a good friend, and it'll be a little weird, but you can do it.
I'll say this. I'm so thrilled to be with my wife, and like is the most fulfilling relationship in my life. And I have so many diamond hard boners for my wife, just like, just glass cutting boners. Mm. But like my wife is not really my type. Like I started dating my wife when we were in high school because our mutual friend Max was like, Teresa has a crush on you and you should ask her out. And I was like sort of dating Teresa's best friend. And I had no idea. And I at the time didn't have a crush on Teresa. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, Teresa's pretty cool. And I did notice her jugs. But
Jesse, this is a sex negative. Can we say boobers? Can we say
form? Physical form.
Her form. Sure. Thank you.
Physical form.
Her memories.
We were in a figure drawing class together.
Sure.
I think if after this was a week, right? Like if after a week I'm only taking it past a week with rockabilly chicks with Betty Page haircuts, which is both Jordan and my type, I think. I would never have had the most fulfilling and bonerful relationship that I could ever have hoped to have. And there's like not a moment where I feel like I made the wrong decision for that. And, you know, like, it's not like I want to be clear. Like, it's not like I wasn't attracted to her, but like, if you think it's going to be perfect, maybe do a reevaluation in a month.
Especially because I agree with that because of what they're saying, which is this is, and not just has been a week, but it was that they're saying, this is my first anything. So this is also
literally
a person.
Everything.
Yeah, everything.
First everything.
So it's also like, it's not simply this person, but it's also you in a romantic setting with someone. And you don't know, like, and you're learning kind of what you're like, you know?
Yeah.
And it, especially too, like, you know, what can happen, we were crushing for like 4 months before we got together. And, you know, depending on you know, this person's age or the intensity of their emotions, sometimes you can crush real intensely and real hard. And then when you get with that person and it's like, okay, now it's just like life. You know what I mean? Now it's just like you want to watch a movie and it can be a little deflating. So depending on where you're at and like how you feel things emotionally, you also could just be dealing with that, right? Like going from the crush to the reality.
Right.
I would also say this is first everything for this person. And that in itself is a lot. Like, it's a lot to carry. And I want this person to have permission to carry that relatively lightly as they can manage. It does not all hang on this one thing.
Yeah.
So see what's nice about it and what isn't it and react to that appropriately. But give yourself some room to do that.
That's true. Yeah. That was good advice, I thought.
Yeah. Do you guys want to try voicemail?
Ooh, I love a
voicemail. Sorry about the advice, by the way.
No, I think that was good. Plus, also, as you guys, I always say, I love your voicemails because it lets me hear where you're at emotionally. So call us, okay? 323-524-7839.
So, well, before we... Jordan, what's been like your longest relationship?
I have had... I would say that I've had a couple of like two-ish and three-ish year relationships.
Okay.
And then like, you know, around there.
Okay. Well, you got a good foundation for this next one then.
Hey, so I'm just calling because me and my husband have been married for 6 years. It's been really great. Everything's great. But when he comes home and it's time to do dinner time, bath time, everything, he almost just kind of like hides in the room. And I sometimes when I ask him, like, hey, can you do the dishes? Can you do this? I've done them for the past 5 days. I just feel like I'm nagging, and I feel really bad. I just really wish that he would take more responsibility in the house and with cleaning. And I don't really know how to ask him that, so I'm hoping that maybe you guys can help me. Thank you very much, and I love you both. I hope that you are blessed and safe and happy.
Thank you. We love you too.
Beautiful. I like her a lot.
Love the little bit of the Southern drawl. That was great.
Yeah, she's a touch. I was like tender.
Couldn't have liked that more.
I would like to point this out. Usually when someone calls in and you hear it's great, everything's great.
Uh-oh.
That's like my like uh-oh meter goes up.
Our house is on fire and the toddler has a knife, but everything's great.
I swear to God, it's all fine.
We're thriving, live, laugh, love.
It's a cheese knife. I'm bringing out crackers.
Sure. We think it's going to be okay. We need to teach them about charcuterie.
Charcuterie.
Yeah, I mean, geez.
I
think my gut is saying this husband needs to fucking show up. But I'll be a little more compassionate because like, you know, one of the weird parts about living with someone is that like everyone has a different definition of what messy is, you know, messy is different to everyone. And I have like lived with people who think I'm a slob and I have like lived with people who, I've wanted to hose down. So, you know, I think I have been both the slob and the, oh gosh, this should be an Odd Couple reference. Who are the Odd Couple? I've been both the Felix and the Oscar in relationships. So, you know, I think if you feel like you haven't talked to the husband about this, you know, sit down and explain what neat means to you. And if he hears that and still isn't showing up, fuck him.
I would say that I think in a lot of, and this is something that I've learned from doing so many episodes of Judge John Hodgman with married couples, so many. I think that there is a disproportionate cultural expectation about men's and women's contributions to the home and work at home in heterosexual, married, and long-term relationships. And I think that there are many men who, for good or ill, have grown up not taking responsibility for their own home life. And that's when they were children, when they were adolescents, when they were young adults. You know, there is this stereotype of women sweeping into men's lives and like fixing them and cleaning them up and taking the dirty laundry off their floor. And what that story really is a story of women doing work that they should not have to do. But I do think it's also worth remembering that like that burden is also a... It's not necessarily reflective of malice, right? Mm-hmm. That men who have grown up in that cultural context, sort of just receiving the misogyny of the culture in general, you know, just because they have never interrogated it doesn't mean that they hate their wives. Mm-hmm. And for that reason, I would encourage her to communicate with her partner and say, I see you needing to recharge after work. I see you needing to spend time alone, whatever it is that she sees that he's doing during this time, which is significant and important for all of us. But I am carrying a lot of burden in the home and it does not feel right and appropriate to me. And you don't have to be it doesn't have to be mean. Like it doesn't have to be angry even. Because it may very well be that she's explaining this to him and it will be new information to him. And that's unfortunate, but that's about cultural context as much as anything else. And so I think like, honestly, if it was me, I would be like, maybe we should make a chore wheel. Because I don't want her to feel like she is nagging because of this thing that is, she is completely right about. They should be sharing the work at home. And it may be that there are parts of the work at home that she prefers and parts that he prefers, you know, like I've heard from a lot of couples where, I mean, like in my own home, right? Like, I like cooking and my wife doesn't. So I do most of the cooking. Because I do most of the cooking and neither of us likes cleaning the kitchen, I usually clean the kitchen. Like, she likes our children better than I do, so she does more childcare. She's more patient with our children than I am.
You have multiple children? I thought you just had one child.
I have three. Jesse,
that's too many.
So, I mean, I think that they owe each
no,
other...
No, do not give the child to me. The child will not be okay.
I think they owe each other at least one round of like, and I'm sorry to be the guy that avoids all conflict by establishing rules, but like clear and explicit communication around this and some assignment that feels equitable to both of them. And if she still has to be nagging after that in the long term, then he's an asshole.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
God, you know, that was a good one.
With us, there's nothing. Sorry, Jordan, you go.
Oh, I was going to ask Andy and Naomi, do you guys feel like you're the same amount of neat versus messy?
No, Andy is orderly and does all the housework.
Well, no, what I was going to say is when it comes to housework, it's less about like what we like and more about like what I don't mind doing. Like what can I do and listen to a podcast at the same time? I can cook and listen to a podcast at the same time. I can dust, I can vacuum, all that stuff. And there's just certain things that I just like folding clothes, like washing and folding clothes. Just, I hate it for some reason. Yeah. I don't know what it is about that, but like there's something at my core that I just fucking want to like throw the washing machine out the back window. I just fucking hate it. And Naomi does like a majority of that. I'd say 80 to 85%.
I'd say 90.
Yeah. My wife
won't argue with it.
My wife made the mistake of when we were like 22 years old and we were living together telling me that she doesn't mind doing the laundry. So while I do my own laundry because I'm a clothes freak, she does all the rest of the household laundry.
Oh, really? So just your own?
Yeah, but it's on the same basis. Like she doesn't mind doing it, so great. Then she should. That should be one that just as I don't mind doing the cooking. Yeah. Like great, problem solved.
I also think too. Like I agree because I was also going to say too. Like writing it down. Kind of will you do this? But I also think a couple other things. You know, because it's true. Like the best way to sort of start this conversation in a way that doesn't feel like an attack is also don't do it when he comes home. And like the kid, he's in the room and you're dealing with the kid. You're like, get your ass out here. I mean, it's not like you would say that. You sound very, very tender and loving. But I think
it also probably would be weird if you said that because you're not African American, I'm guessing. Caller.
She might, honey, she's Southern. It would be weird.
That's possible.
but I'm
just concerned about her appropriating African American vernacular English.
But she could, like, you know, like on a weekend in a mellow moment, hey, I'd love it if you did this. Also, one of the things, because especially I think I really just relate to that idea of I don't want to sound like a nag. And it's like, you know, and I can imagine too, like, before they had kids, these kind of things weren't a big deal because there wasn't as much of it to do, right? Like, once you have a kid, it's like, God, everything's dirty all the time. It's more to do than I'm sure before that. So the dynamic has maybe changed for them. And so it's that question of sort of like on a weekend when you guys are mellow, being like, hey, can you do X, Y, or Z for me by X date or time? So giving somebody like, hey, could you do the laundry by Friday?
Yes.
Or can you do whatever? Because like when I ask you to do stuff, I realize it's like, because I know sometimes we will, not butt heads, but you'll get annoyed if I ask you to do something and then I go ahead and do it. You know what I mean?
And I'm like, well, I was going, like, it's on my list to do.
I know.
And it felt, because what it feels like in those moments is that you are, that you don't trust me to get it done, even though I do a lot around the house.
Yeah. Well, and right.
I mean, that's just because you're not trustworthy, right?
What are you, the inside of my head?
But it's not that I'm not doing it because I don't trust you. It's more like sometimes when I ask, it's really because I want it done right away. Like when I say do this for me, what I really mean is like do it now for me.
Do it now and the exact way I want it done.
Right. In which case I check myself, realize that. And I'm like, well, if you want it done that badly, do it yourself. Right. Like if I'm impatient about it, instead of being like, when are you going to do it? When are you going to do it? Then I just do it. And then if it's something that I don't really, you know, it's not a pressing need, I will be like, hey, can you do this for me by X date? Like when I could not bring, like I'm so messy, y'all, and literally bought like cork boards, dry erase boards. I was like, I'm about to get my life. I'm about to put up these cards. You know what I'm saying? I'm about to break this story. I left those goddamn boards on top of my desk for a good month. A month. There was no need for it. And I was like, Andrew, will you put these up for me by the end of the weekend? Because I just like couldn't, and I don't.
I mean,
know
I think we have identified. Yeah. We talked about this earlier with me and my wife's different thinking styles. Like we've identified one of the great things about being in a successful romantic relationship, which is that hopefully at least some of your skills, you know, there are things that are overlapping, and that's wonderful. But some things may be complementary, and that's wonderful too. The only piece that I would add to what we've talked about with this particular situation is that there are a lot of couples where one person works outside the home and the other one doesn't. Mm-hmm. And in those situations, at least from my experience on Judge John Hodgman, often the person who works outside the home does not see the totality of the work that the person who's inside the home does.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, speaking of misogyny, often, not always, but often the person working outside the home is the man in a heterosexual relationship. And that man is not recognizing the totality of the work that the woman in that partnership is doing. This may also happen in families where the woman works outside the home, man doesn't, or same-sex couples. But this is something I've seen a lot in heterosexual couples where the man works outside the home. And so it's important to remember that just because you're bringing in the money or whatever doesn't mean that your partner is the only one who is responsible for doing work in the home. Because work in the home is typically, especially if you have kids, far bigger than a 9-to-5 job. And so in the hours besides 9-to-5, you still have the responsibility to contribute. You know, it may be a different contribution because you're not there from 9-to-5. You know, you can't pick the kids up from school, you know. But that is also an important thing to remember.
That's true. Whew, this was a good one, Andy. How'd you feel?
I feel good. I want to know, now, we're here at the end. Naomi, I got to know, how are you feeling towards Bit Boys? Do you think, because I'm going to say, we had Dave Foley and Paul Greenberg on.
Oh, I couldn't take it.
Naomi was furious.
Livid.
Furious. I couldn't. Yeah. Love Dave Foley with all my heart. But Naomi was like a second away from burning down the studio. Second away.
Listen, I mean, and I think we can all agree that, you know, Bit Boys, while not the worst thing in the world, are a net negative on the culture. You know, I mean, we're not, you know, we're not QAnon, but...
true.
Yeah.
No, true. This was good.
But yes, I want to know how you feel.
These were bit boys who became emotional Elmos. All right? They revealed something.
Like the Muppet?
Yes, I didn't know what else to do. Or bit boys who became emotional men.
Bit men.
No, not bit boys
from
to bit,
bit
men.
Boys to bit men. Boys
I'm still hung
men.
Up on Jordan saying like the Muppet, like you were referring to a different Elmo. Like Elmo Thompson, your old neighbor or something.
Right. Yeah, I guess Elmo has kind of like become a less popular baby name since the...
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's the opposite of Daenerys.
I was like, is there a silent film actor maybe named Elmo? Yeah.
These are my kids, Daenerys and Elmo.
Right.
Elmo was Millard Fillmore's vice president or whatever.
Right.
I liked it. Is yeah. what I'm
Sorry,
saying.
we're doing bits.
No,
here,
it's fine.
We should
it's,
be listening.
It's the end, and it's I understand. Sure. You guys really also... kept it together for an hour,
yeah.
And I think that now you've earned
you've
nonsense.
Earned 5 minutes of playtime.
Thank you, Naomi, for letting it. That's another kind of bit boy bit is the obscure history bit.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So...
How do you remember it? I don't remember. I was good at school, but I remember nothing.
Yeah,
an emotional
well, I mean,
history
you,
of the bit boy. That's what.
Yeah, you learned to interact with your peers on a more honest and straightforward level, and you didn't have to store away funny details you saw or read about.
Yeah, all the time we could have been engaging with the humanity of others, we were just noting specifics we could use later.
Sure,
like a type of backpack that a certain sort of guy wears.
Oh my God! You guys
like,
do
oh, these JanSport motherfuckers. You're one of those JanSport motherfuckers, aren't you?
You guys do keep me young, though. You know what I mean? Bit boys
Thank
keep
you.
Me young, keep
That's
me
true.
Present, keeping me like what are the jokes? What are the
I mean,
you're, jokes?
And your skin looks great, so I don't know if that has something to do with it. Yeah.
So much it is because I live with a bit boy. You know, full time.
Yeah.
And it does really just take years off my face.
It's a combination.
Same thing
of-
for me, but my wife is an avocado. So the oils really.
Yeah. Yeah. Moisturizer, yeah. Bit boy. But thank you guys.
Thank you guys so much. This
thank
was so wonderful.
You two are wonderful.
Yeah, this is a blast. Thank you.
Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.